Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a great and deep hunger within the heart and soul of all people that can only be satisfied by the grace and love of God. Perhaps you have heard this quotation from the great teacher of the early Christian church, Saint Augustine, who prayed to God, "O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and the heart of man is restless until it finds its rest in you." The amazing thing about the love and grace of God is that he himself has sought us out through his own Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God feeds us spiritually and thereby satisfies that deep hunger of our heart and soul that hungers for his saving presence in our lives. The reformer Martin Luther, in a letter to his close friend and colleague Philip Melanchthon, described his personal need that he felt for the grace of God and how God fulfilled that need for him in his life. Luther wrote, "I'm seeking and thirsting for nothing else than a gracious God. And he earnestly offers himself as such and urges even those who spurn him and are his enemies to accept him as such." In the Apostle John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 that we have before us this morning, we see a striking picture of the magnificent way in which God draws his people to himself and feeds them. This event was undoubtedly of special significance in the life of the early church. It's the only one of the many miracles that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry that is recorded in all four of the Bible's gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So let's look more closely at the account of this miracle that we have before us to see the power and the message of this familiar story. As we look at this account, we see, of course, that Jesus is the central figure in this story. It would be foolish for us to focus only on the miraculous multiplying of those loaves of bread and fish without focusing on the one whose power made that miracle happen. Yet as we think about our own lives, how often is it that we don't often focus on the gifts and the glory that has been given to us without so much thinking about the giver of those gifts in our lives, God? What would the people who were gathered on that hillside in Galilee have seen as this miraculous event unfolded in front of their eyes? Those faithful Jewish believers who had been waiting for the promised Messiah would surely have recognized this as something that was very significant and exciting. According to Jewish traditions and expectations, the Messiah would perform great miraculous acts. In a miraculous way, he was supposed to prepare a great banquet feast for his people. The people expected a miraculous feeding, just as God had miraculously fed the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness by sending them manna from heaven to eat every morning. As the events of our reading unfold, we see that Jesus is in charge of the situation. He is the host who is preparing the meal. He silences those pragmatic and earthly-minded voices of his disciples, Philip and Andrew. Like us, they were inclined to doubt in the face of what appeared to be an impossible situation. Where will we get what we need? Our resources are simply far too insufficient to feed so many people. But Jesus proceeds undaunted by their concerns. He will feed his people, even if they fail to see or misunderstand the nature of the food that he offers. he will still provide it. And he will provide it in abundance. Only he can do that. Only Jesus can feed and satisfy the hunger of the human heart and soul. The spiritual food that so often we search for and find for ourselves to fill that spiritual hunger that we have is of no lasting value. We prefer to choose our own diet, to find our own way, to make our own rules, to live our own lives. That forbidden fruit still looks good to us because we still believe that lie of the devil, that eating that will make us like God. Or so we think. But that kind of meal does not sustain us. And so we remain hungry, undernourished, and ultimately bound for death. Our hunger cannot be satisfied by fish and bread, or by steak and potatoes, or burgers and fries. Our hunger is rooted more deeply than just the lining of our stomach walls. We hunger for a deep and personal relationship with God, which God first established with his people in the Garden of Eden, but that we have subsequently destroyed by our own sin. But God has placed that hunger within each of us, and he has revealed to us the means by which that hunger can be satisfied. There, on that hillside in Galilee, Jesus shows us that he will indeed satisfy his people's hunger. What is it that we're hungry for? Well, one of the things that we hunger for spiritually is for forgiveness. The weight of sin and guilt hangs mercilessly around our necks. To say that we have no sin is simply to play a foolish, deadly game with our eternal future. Accomplishing great deeds for society, walking the straight and narrow, cleaning up our act, all of those kinds of outward actions have no effect on our spiritual problem of sin. At best, such works might be appreciated by others in our lives around us, but they are only temporary and only temporarily salve our troubled consciences. But as God's word tells us, the soul that sins is the soul that will die, unless it is nourished by the life-giving forgiveness of God. As those hunger pangs of repentance rumble within us, we are fed and satisfied with the assurance that the forgiveness of sins is already ours through the work that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And so, relying on the grace of God, we are nourished and strengthened through the forgiveness of our sins that Jesus brought about by his death and resurrection. We also hunger for fellowship. We want a sense of belonging and acceptance. To be abandoned and isolated in this world is to be enveloped with terror and fear. We see so often in the world around us broken homes, refugee camps, separated families, runaway teenagers, drug abuse, and a multitude of other tragedies that attest to the fragmentation and brokenness of our society. The outcast, the hurting, the unattractive, the poor, as well as the rich and the popular, the successful and the powerful, all people yearn for a place where they can be accepted and openly received and welcomed. Jesus, aware of our need for a place and a sense of belonging, calls us to himself just as he drew that multitude of people to himself. It doesn't matter where we have been or what we have been up to. Jesus is the friend of sinners. He eats with us. He identifies with us. He feeds us. He changes us. He gives us a reason to live, for we are now in fellowship with him, the promised one. In Jesus' day, eating a meal together was a symbol of unity, of acceptance, and of celebration. The sharing of a meal was an outward sign that a personal relationship exists between those people who were eating together. And so, by his feeding of the 5,000, Jesus proclaims to them, "I am one with you." Jesus satisfies a hunger for fellowship that no one else can fill in our lives. And we also hunger for a future. And so often we attempt on our own to build a future for ourselves. But so often the foundation that we build on is only a foundation of shifting and sinking sand. By our own human wisdom, we calculate what we need and how we will get it. Though our intentions may have been honorable initially, the quest for future security for ourselves so often becomes just a fevered race to accumulate money, material goods, and position or status in life. And then consumed with a quest for securing our futures, we can so easily lose sight of the meaning of our work and of the precious gift of family and friends. And when we finally get what we had for so long deemed essential, we only find out at the end that we're still not happy and not truly satisfied. Only God can break into our lives through his word and can show us such folly in such a way that his care for our futures is total and complete, and that we are cared for in his loving hands. We hunger for a future, and Jesus offers himself to us as the bread of life. Such bread will never run out and will never be found lacking in any way. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray to God, "Give us today our daily bread." What are you hungry for today? Forgiveness? Direction for your life? Fellowship? Hope? Faith? Strength? May our prayer be, "Lord Jesus, feed me today as you fed those multitudes long ago. Fill me with your loving presence and satisfy my hunger." Be assured that the Lord hears our cry. Though we are slowed and weakened by our sin, and often we seek only to fill our own bellies, yet Jesus' presence will lift us up spiritually and will nourish us in our faith. Just as Jesus fed those 5,000, so he will also feed us. The location and the manner of the feeding has changed, but Jesus remains the same yesterday and today and forever. Once Jesus fed that noisy crowd on a hillside in Galilee, today he feeds us in the middle of crowded cities, in the middle of noisy factories or stress-filled offices, in lonely hospital rooms, in high-rise apartment buildings, in suburban neighborhoods. Jesus feeds us today in our world of rapid transit, in our world of fast foods and instant communications. Jesus feeds us in times of personal distress, in times of spiritual darkness, in impending danger, disrupted plans, failing health, and political unrest. And Jesus promises that he will feed us eternally. Jesus Christ has seen to that. He guaranteed that when he took on himself on the cross all of our sins, all of our guilt, all of our hatred, all of our afflictions, and all manner of spiritual hunger that we feel. Everything that would crush us or destroy us or plunge us into despair and death, all of that was heaped upon Jesus, and it broke him. On the cross, his body was broken. the bread of life was broken and laid in a tomb. But that bread did not see decay. Rather, that life-giving bread, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, was resurrected from the dead. Sin could not hold him. Death could not hold him. The power of the devil could not hold him. Jesus lives, and he continues to feed the hungry. The hungry gather around the Lord, drawn to him by his love. They gather around his word and sacrament to be fed spiritually. And we are fed. We are fed with forgiveness, with fellowship, and with the assurance that the ultimate victory is ours. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's eat. Let us again today savor all the goodness and grace of our Savior, whose presence is real, whose love is unconditional, and whose acceptance of us will culminate in a heavenly feast that will have no end.